Welcome to the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Wednesday, July 25th, 2012. I'm Mary Sherman. We are following stories from coast to coast, including a national checkup of child well-being, another heat-related death in Missouri, and the link between fried chicken, church, and health. Leading our news, a yearly report card on how states treat their children shows both promising progress and discouraging setbacks. Deborah Smith has more from Idaho, where the state ranks strongest in the family and community categories and weakest in education.
Lauren Nakacheo with Idaho Kids Count has this insight.
Idaho performed well in the family and community domain, in part because we have a relatively low percentage of children in single-parent families. However, this did increase from 23% to 25%.
She says while Idaho does not score well nationwide for education, coming in 30th, there have been improvements, but low preschool attendance and stagnant fourth grade reading scores hurt the state's ranking. For comparison, Oregon is ranked 33rd overall and Utah is 11th.
Montana ranked 28th and was strongest in education. Tolly Dillon with Montana Kids Count says proper care, nurturing, and economic security lead to children having better social and emotional skills and better learning outcomes, but it takes consistency.
After a lease sale, leases are being issued with less delays. Protests have gone from most of the leases in a sale being protested to, you know, less than 20% this year.
In the report, Kentucky landed in the bottom 15 states. Tom Joseph continues our coverage.
Dr. Terry Brooks with Kentucky Youth Advocate says more and more kids in the state are being raised in single-family homes or by grandparents or other relatives. Over the past decade, the number of Kentucky children living in kinship arrangements has doubled. He says this means Kentucky needs to rethink the way it delivers services.
Faith communities and local leaders and school principals and, yeah, state legislators need to understand that the family today is not the family of even a decade ago. And so we've really got to change in thinking about how to reach out to those families.
The data book looks at 16 indicators of child well-being in categories related to economic health, education, and family and community connections.
Overall, New Hampshire ranked first, Massachusetts second, and Vermont third in child well-being. And at the bottom of the list, Nevada, New Mexico, and Mississippi. With increasing protests against cuts to West Virginia's state-supported child care, Governor Earl Ray Tomlin has called a halt to some of the reductions. More from Dan Hyman.
The governor's office has gotten hundreds of messages by phone and email on the issue. A rally had been planned midday Wednesday at the state capitol, although it may now be canceled. Evelyn Dorch with the Direct Action Welfare Group was at an earlier protest.
There is an outcry. We've heard from child care providers all over the state. We have heard from families all over the state that are saying we're going to have to quit our job.
The State Department of Health and Human Resources had planned to increase copays, freeze enrollment, and tighten income requirements in order to fill a budget shortfall. However, late Tuesday, Governor Tomlin said he would lift the freeze on enrolling new families and will be considering the entire issue over the next few months. Dan Hyman reporting.
A new report finds the Bureau of Land Management is doing a better job than in the past when it comes to how public lands are used for oil and gas development in Colorado and the West. The report called Making the Grade, Almost, finds that the new policies mean the needs of the public and wildlife are considered as important as those of the oil and gas industry. Nada Culver is director of the Wilderness Society's BLM Action Center. She says more public input means the leasing process is more environmentally conscious and less contentious.
After a lease sale, leases are being issued with less delays. Protests have gone from most of the leases in a sale being protested to, you know, less than 20% this year.
The report studied the first full year of oil and gas leasing reforms spurred by the Stiles Report. It says that while the changes are a positive step, gaps remain in the areas of transparency in leasing and drilling operations and agency support for one consistent regional policy for selecting lands for oil and gas development. A story out of our New Mexico Bureau. Transitioning from coal to renewable energy was the subject of a public meeting at San Juan College Tuesday, and Renee Blake talked with some of those in attendance.
Donna House is a member of the Diné Navajo Nation. She says the livelihood and the health of the Navajo people and other indigenous people in the Four Corners area have been impacted for generations by the pollution from mines and power plants. She says there's a high rate of asthma and respiratory disease disease among Navajos in the region.
That's our homeland. That's the area that we plant our traditional farms. We have our sacred sites. We collect our cultural species for ceremonies, and that's where we drink our water.
At this time, 60% of New Mexicans' electricity needs are met by the burning of coal.
Unusually hot summer weather continues to plague parts of the country, and in Missouri, the number of deaths from heat is now up to 26. Mary Ann Myers reports.
The man died in his mobile home after having his air conditioner removed because he thought it was too expensive. He reportedly had refused a relative's offer to move to a cooler place. Craig Eichelman with AARP Missouri says sometimes older people remember that when they were kids they didn't have air conditioning and they think they can tough it out now.
But according to the Centers for Disease Control, extreme heat kills more Americans each year than hurricanes, tornadoes, floods combined.
That's why he's urging Missourians to check on elders and help them find ways to stay cool, especially if they live alone. Marianne Myers reporting.
The 99%ers need a raise. That was the point of demonstrations in about 30 large cities around the country yesterday, showing support for increasing the federal minimum wage, which is currently at $7.25 an hour. Legislation has been introduced in Congress as recently as last month to raise the federal minimum wage to $10 an hour. Tuesday marked 3 years since the last federal minimum wage increase went into effect. There is some truth to the old expression, meaner than a junkyard dog, according to the majority of voters in Hampton, Virginia. The practice of keeping dogs tethered for extended time periods is said to make dogs angry and aggressive, and now it will be illegal to chain dogs for any period of time in Hampton. Monique Coppola reports.
The new law is the result of an online poll by the city, says Hampton Communications Director Robin McCormick. She says after much debate, the city posted the survey online for about a week and received more than 2,000 responses to questions about tethering dogs.
There was really overwhelming support for getting rid of tethering altogether. 57% of the people said tethering should not be allowed. It's inherently not good for animals.
7% of respondents felt differently and said the city shouldn't ban dog tethering at all. McCormick says the new law won't go into effect until January 1st to allow people time to make different arrangements for their animals. In the meantime, the city will make efforts to educate people about humane treatment for their pets. I'm Monique Coppola reporting.
Health advocates are finding a pulpit for better living. Kathleen Ryan introduces us to a minister who's on a mission to improve the nation's health.
Dr. Michael Miner spreads the gospel of healthy living from his pulpit at the Oak Hill Baptist Church in Mississippi, and also nationwide as part of First Lady Michelle Obama's Let's Move campaign. Dr. Miner went so far as to ban fried chicken from his church dinners, although he insists he isn't changing the social culture of the church fellowship.
We still fellowship. What we're doing is, we're saying that when we eat, let's eat healthy. That's the difference. I believe that food is important. I think when we break bread together, that's how we can make things happen.
There are churches in Colorado also making health a priority. New Hope Baptist in Denver offers its parishioners nutrition and exercise classes. And Live Well Westwood partners with area churches to hold exercise classes and healthy food banks. Dr. Miner visits Colorado this week as part of the Colorado Health Symposium in Keystone. I'm Kathleen Ryan reporting.
I'm Mary Sherman for Public News Service, member and listener supported and online at publicnewsservice.org.